trusted name in GPS.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. If you'd like to join the conversation today, we not only recommend it, but highly encourage it. Interesting subject, part two, actually, from last week's conversation, which we'll get to in just a moment. Our phone lines are now open. This is a live medical talk show, and you're welcome to call in at 941-206-1580 or 888-441-1580. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And I know the whole community has been in mourning because of a fallen hero.
Yes, indeed.
And I wanted to also offer my condolences. And we all need to be reminded how these public servants, these wonderful policemen, firemen, are there, the first responders, and they are there to help take care of us.
Absolutely.
And when someone in 92 years, we lose two police officers only in the line of duty, it goes, because I grew up here my whole life in Charlotte County, and I feel very sad that our community has been touched by this. And I only can say thank you to all the police officers, first responders, EMS. I myself have had to call patients. I had a patient the other day. She had a cardiac event in my office. We called EMS. They were wonderful. They're so highly professional, well-trained. Whenever you need to call a police officer, they're always there. Again, very professional, very caring. I mean, I just want to offer my condolences and remind everybody to say thank you to every one of these public servants who are here, and also to say, you know, how important the gift that we have, which is the gift of life. And we really need to appreciate every day. And onto this, I will move on and say we are talking today about also about cardiac events. And we're going to be talking about, like part two, as we said, sexual counseling for individuals with cardiovascular disease and their partners. I want everyone to know that this is a 23-page consensus statement put out by the American Heart Association and the European Heart Association. And to know that if you have any questions, you can call. Now, I know people are shy. You don't have to say your name. Our phone number here is 206-1580. And if you have any question related to this, and also to know that you can also email AskDrTriana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Now, why am I talking about this? Why am I talking about sexual health? Because I truly feel that we need to let everybody know, and every physician and every healthcare worker, when you see your doctor, just like you tell them, what surgeries you have, what medicines you're on. I think it's very important, and that we as healthcare professionals need to open up the dialogue and say, how is your sexual health? Do you have any concerns? Are you able to have sex? Are you able to have an orgasm? Do you have problems with erectile dysfunction? Are you not able to lubricate a woman who maybe has gone through menopause? All these issues can be addressed and helped. So you don't have to live and say, oh, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to be embarrassed. There is nothing to be embarrassed. It is just as important as someone saying to me, I have high blood pressure, I'm a diabetic, and if somebody says, I have sexual health issues, I think that's very important to start the dialogue.
Let me ask you something. In your practice, obviously, if I were to come in as a patient for the first time, you're going to ask me a lot of questions about my health history, what's going on in my health today. You're going to ask questions about my major organs, heart and lungs and all. Do you ask patients about their sexual health? Or is that something that doctors are kind of afraid to broach unless it's brought up?
A lot of people are scared to bring it up. And I will say there are times, depending how I feel the patient is starting to, you know, remember the doctor-patient relationship. It's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor is getting to know you and you're getting to know the doctor. So you have to trust that professional to be able to start that dialogue. And sometimes it's not on the first visit that relationship has gotten to that point. Second of all, it's like a lot of times I'll tell patients, you know, I do an exam and everything. I may not do their pelvic exam. Hello, caller.
Let's hold that thought on pelvic exam. And caller, yes. You're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Am I on?
Yes.
I had a vasectomy after my third child was born. I'm 68 years old now.
Okay.
And I was wondering if there was any problems with vasectomy in the later years. I will hang up and listen for your comments. Thank you very much. You have a very good show.
Thank you so much, caller. I appreciate that. Well, no, there should be no problem. I mean, is your concern that maybe you might be fertile again? Remember, the vasectomy is literally putting a roadblock of where the sperm travels and leaves your body, which is the vas deferens, and there's a surgical procedure. As years have gone on, there's different procedures, but basically they're keeping the sperm from leaving your body so you're not fertile. That is not going to affect your sexual function. That's a different issue. So no, you should not have any problems. Remember, what is the biggest cause of erectile dysfunction in men? It's vascular disease. It is vascular disease. We know that if men have smoked or are diabetic, that vascular disease is going to affect the, as I say, the quote, plumbing of your penis, and you're not going to be able to have the blood flow that you need to have an erection. Just like the blood flow that you need to feed your heart muscle. And when that gets blocked, what happens? You get chest pains. When you don't get blood to your brain, you get a stroke. So vascular disease is a very important. The medicines that are used, Viagra, Levitra, all these other medicines are the ones that help open up so the blood will flow better. In fact, that's how into the penis. In fact, that's one of the they were doing research for people with heart problems, and they found that they could get an erection.
Uh-huh.
So this and these medicines, that's how they function. So what I'd like to do today is to, and I appreciate your calls, is to go over again some of what we recapped last week, but I want to go more into depth about each type of cardiac issue. Again, as I said, the important part of your sexual health should be addressed with your doctor if you have a problem. Now, the doctor, the nurse, can at least open up the dialogue. And if there is issues that are beyond the scope of what a physician can take care of, then yes, we can refer to a specialist or a sexual counselor for this. But why is your sexual health so important? It's important because, first of all, it should be pleasurable, it should be safe, and the important aspect is that it brings relationships closer together. Now, I notice in a lot of times people or couples will greet each other and they no longer even give a little cursory kiss. Now, don't you think in life, you know, like the song, a kiss is just a kiss? Do we not think that something as simple as a little kiss, good morning, good afternoon, hello, I'm just seeing you, even if it's a kiss on the cheek, preferably on the lips, do we not, even something as simple and as little as that, I think brings the couple together.
I can't help but think about the number of people who perhaps as their life goes on and their wedding and their marriage, you know, starts to kind of fade in the background, come home from work, don't kiss the wife hello, wife doesn't kiss the husband hello, pick up the dog, get lots of smooches all over their face, because we tend to do those kinds of things and forget about the people who are closest to us.
Because things become routine.
Yeah.
And we forget that, you know, just like holding hands. Now, we talked about that last week. Holding hands, just that is, after having a heart attack, is such a beautiful little detail. So even just holding hands, sitting on the couch, holding hands, if you're going to watch a movie, going to the movies together and holding hands, you know, that is so important, that just a little intimate touch. When I say sexual health, I include that to be not only the ultimate of sexuality, the orgasm, but the be able to have the intimacy of that other human being. So, holding hands. When somebody's had a heart attack, what is the biggest problem about sexual health? Many times, people are scared. They're scared that they're going to have a fear that after having a heart attack. And we have another caller. Thank you, caller.
Yes. Another thing that is really important is hormones. A lot of the medicines, especially heart medicines, destroy the hormones. And when those go down the tubes, things don't work right. And I think doctors need to check that routinely, that make sure that the male hormones, female hormones are up and balanced like they should be. I think it's a very important thing.
Thank you, caller. And I agree about the hormones. And I don't know if you've been on listening to my show before, but I am also a certified menopause specialist and am doing major studies in andropause, in men's health. And I agree with you, hormones need to be checked. And we're looking again at the big picture. So thank you, caller.
I think there's been a lot of talk about low testosterone. Low T has become kind of the buzzword, in especially for men. So understandably, that's where the caller is kind of going with that, something for men to consider.
Yes. And at the Triana Prevention Center for heart attack, stroke, and diabetes, as a family physician, I do address that with my male patients. We do hormone testing, and we also can recommend, again, each person we individualize. It's just like each woman is different, each man is different. There is no cookie-cutter medicine here. What might be good for you may not be good for the next person and might harm the next person. So if it's appropriate, if there's no contraindications, we do offer testosterone to our male patients. And that's very important because we know that low testosterone can be associated with decreased libido, fatigue, a depression and lack of interest in life. And men do feel a change in their sexuality. So this is why it's important. And on the flip side, for women, it's very important that women also, who when it's indicated, we can do hormone therapy, estrogen, if needed, or progesterone. And then we can help them where they can have more the sense of not feeling dry when they're having sex, or their moods will change. And all this is very important. And it's part of what we do, what I do in my office. So not only am I a lipidologist, because I'm here to prevent heart attack, stroke, and involved in that is diabetes, but I look at each of us, each human, in as a total being, and look at also their sexual health. Is it because, you know, and I have young women too who come. Are they not interested in sex anymore? And young men, because they're stressed out, because the baby's sleeping with them and crying all night, because one works a night shift, one works a day shift. You know, all this needs to be taken into account.
There's all kinds of complications and reasons in our modern lives, unfortunately. It might be medical. It might be emotional or psychological. That's why you need to have a Dr. Triana, for example, start to figure out where your lack of desire might be coming from.
Right. And the gentleman brought up, there's a lot of medicines which will, number one, decrease your desire to have sex. Many of the antidepressants will decrease your desire. Uh-huh. So doesn't mean you're not going to have any desire. May mean it may need a little more gas to get that engine revved up.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you're not going to have zero acceleration, if we're going to put it in car talk.
You're which, speaking that's my what, language.
That's one of the shows I've always loved was Car Talk.
And yes.
Oh, my God. Click and clack. They're hilarious. But anyways, I don't want to transgress, but they're so funny. And I, you know, I love old cars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I just go crazy looking at all these beautiful old cars. And there was a show on TV, which now I heard they're going to take off, which was violent, but had all these old cars, Magic City. It had the cars from the 60s. And
I'm not familiar with that one.
Anyways, it was really good. So going back to sexual health, why it's so important that many people after a cardiac event, for example, a heart attack, what is the biggest fear? Oh, my gosh. What if I'm having sex, my heart rate goes up, my breathing goes up. Am I going to have another heart attack? Very, very, very rare. Number one, if you're able, and we talked about this, if you're able to walk for 6 minutes, you should be able to have sex. If you are able to go 2 flights of stairs, you should be able to have sex. And remember, we talked about the working up. In other words, start with the kissing, the hugging, the fondling. We know that sexual intercourse, even mutual masturbation, uses more energy. So work yourself up to that point where you don't get any chest pains, because that's the biggest fear. People are scared. What if I get chest pains? What if I get a heart attack? It's going to happen again.
So you're saying statistically, after a heart attack and recovery, and your doctor has more or less signed off on you returning to a sexual life, the fear that something is going to happen is sort of baseless, because it's very rare that that actually happens.
Very, very rare. Okay. And the whole point is just, and I want to make this very, very clear. We all have events in our life and stressors, but that should not mean giving up an intimate life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what's another big bypass surgery? Many people, patients, have had bypass surgery.
Sure.
And again, many patients, after having bypass surgery, again, the fear, is something going to happen? Am I going to have a heart attack? 6 to 8 weeks after you've had your bypass surgery, after your wounds have healed, you need to know that it's okay to start your sexual life.
Really? That soon?
Yes. And this is in this article.
That's this major report.
If anybody wants to go to the American Heart Association website, heart.org, that statements will be there.
Okay.
So what happens is, It's very important also after any cardiac event that patients who participate in cardiac rehab, which are going to have better results in their sexual health because they're already moving, they're learning what to do after their surgery. So this is very important.
Uh-huh.
Another important thing is many times after people have had open heart surgery, they might have some incisional where the incision was made in their sternum may have some pain, especially it seems in women because, you know, women have their breasts there.
Uh-huh.
It's very important that women understand where to, you know, where to place their breasts. If they have very large breasts when they're having sex, especially after they've had open heart surgery, because they can have tenderness over that area. It's very important for patients to learn the difference between the tingling, the chest tenderness, or the burning sensation between having angina, heart pain, chest pain, okay?
Uh-huh.
So that's very, very important. So one of the recommendations they recommend in this consensus statement is using pillows, propping your body in a certain way, changing positions from your usual position to maybe a new position. Try something different. You know, there's everything from an easy chair, a couch, a bed, pillows. Be creative. Okay.
I had never even thought about the incision, the wound from the surgery being an aspect of deciding how you're going to return to your sexual activity. So that's a very interesting point and something that a lot of people need to take into consideration.
It's very important. Also, how about they even recommend, it's recommended, how about taking Tylenol before you're going to have sex?
There you go.
Maybe that incision won't be so tender.
Take it prophylactically.
Yeah, beforehand. So this is, again, part of your sexual health. Even if you have not had a cardiac event, the most important thing is to not give up your sexual health. In other words, a lot of times as the body adapts to having, for example, congestive heart failure. Congestive heart failure, the heart is a pump. It doesn't pump enough blood. People get fatigued very easily.
Mm-hmm.
They could get short of breath. They could get chest pains, angina. So once they're compensated their congestive heart failure or they're stable, there is no reason why they should not be able to have sexual relations. I think that's really, really important to bring this up with our patients. So even if you get to the point where you've had surgery, there is a whole life way before that, what I'm trying to emphasize is way before you have any of these cardiac events, your sexual health is important. I know today where the role of intimacy is so important, and it's important for the relationship. It's important for the partner or the person who's had an event or has the illness or has had a disability, because it's important for them to also to gain confidence.
That's a good point. And while we are largely focusing for this discussion on people who have had major medical events occur, like you say, you have a whole life before that. So for younger people who've perhaps not had a major medical event, if something isn't feeling right about your sexual life, this is a conversation to open up with your doctor.
Yes. Or you could open it up with me here. You know, I am very open because, again, I look at each individual as a total human being. What we think, what we feel, what we taste, what we smell, what we hear, it's all involved. And it's all involved into each one of us. You know, some people say we each have our own little world, which is true. But remember, as a professional, as a doctor, I am constantly studying, reading, going to conferences. And I tell my patients that, you know, I'm taking new patients. Mm-hmm. I'm accepting new patients. at my office. I offer not only to take care of family medicine, but I do prevention, heart attack, stroke, diabetes. I try to diagnose and diabetes way before, or what we call pre-diabetes, way before it becomes diabetes. And I also work with patients with their menopause, andropause, which is, you know,
the male version.
The male version, mm-hmm. with the low testosterone. So that I want everyone out there to know, and whether you need a physician, everyone should have a family physician. If you have a family physician and you have a question, bring it up.
That sounds like a good point for me to take a little pause here and remind everybody that they're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center, and our phone lines are open for your calls. Realizing that the topic is such that some people might be a little shy, we want you to know that it's perfectly okay, and we welcome your calls. You'll find a very receptive audience on this side of it to answer your questions. The numbers are 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. Please visit the Triana Prevention Center website. That's trianapreventioncenter.com. And that is spelled T-R-I-A-N-A, PreventionCenter.com. And now, back to our show with Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And again, we do welcome any questions. Today, our topic, if you're just tuning in, is about your sexual health and your heart.
I can't help but think that if somebody's right there and they're picking up the phone, they're putting it down, they're picking up, I want to ask a question, but I'm a little embarrassed because it's about me. We don't have any problem with you calling and saying, this isn't about me, but I have a friend. That's fine. You can do that.
That's a great idea. Going back to major cardiac issues, in terms of as people who have had, for example, there are people who have a heart transplant, and they also need to be reminded, mm-hmm. as we all do, the importance of your sexual health. Mm. Many times people who've had a heart transplant, they have fears.
I can imagine.
About how is that organ going to work in my body? Mm-hmm. They also have to incorporate this new heart, this new organ, into their sense of self. Do they need to, people have their, one of their fears is they're afraid that if they have sex, they have to protect their heart. There's also, and I actually don't understand this, but this was part of the research, is anxieties about assuming the sexual identity of your donor.
Is that right?
So, I'm bringing it out because it is in this.
That is an extremely interesting topic all by itself.
Right, but I just wanted to bring it up.
That's neat.
And also perceptions, and this, I think, is for everyone to listen to. Many times people develop low self-esteem, and their perceptions about their bodies is very low, and they think that they are not sexually attractive, especially after having had a major surgery, like open heart, mm-hmm. or heart transplant, or as people get older, as one of my nurses so kindly said, gravity is not our friend. As we get older, you know, things are not in the right places when we were younger.
And by the way, that applies to both men and women, just so you know.
Yes. So gravity is not our friend. But this perception about, I'm not attractive. Who wants to look at me? I've had this big scar in my chest, mm-hmm. or whatever other major surgeries. This, we need to move beyond that. We need to move beyond that because below every human body is a heart. And basically, we all want somebody to love us. And you know what? How many people really look like Jennifer Lopez, who's gorgeous, right?
She wouldn't be famous and worth how many millions of dollars if everybody did look like her.
I know. We each have to celebrate the beauty within us, the beauty that we are, which it may not be perfect. It may not look like the magazines, but we each have an inner beauty and also an outer beauty. And I know once you've had perceptions where, you know, where someone did a surgery on you or did something, you have to try to work beyond that. And I bring that up because that is an important part of sexuality. It isn't just scared of after having a heart attack. It's about your self-esteem, your perceptions. Remember we said one of the biggest fear that men have is the fear of rejection. But women get that fear too. They feel rejected. They can feel rejected too. So again, we know that self-perception can be improved, not only with working beyond it, but just doing a little exercise. Walking, moving also improves the self-esteem, the perception about your body, your ability to also engage in sexual activities. I think that's so important to think about.
I would hope that if you are becoming intimate with somebody in your life, that you would feel comfortable enough to talk about these things too. And that's what I keep hearing from you, is it's so important to have that communication. I'm feeling self-conscious about my scar. Well, let's talk about that. And hopefully you can do that in a loving environment and feel better about it.
So bring this up with your partner.
Absolutely.
Tell them, you know what? I have arthritis in my hip. I can't bend my leg like that anymore. So they can't maybe do the, quote, missionary position where someone's on top of another person. Maybe they have to lay on their sides. Maybe they have to see what they can do with an easy chair or a pillow or something to help prop them up. Just because you're not able to do what you did when you were 20 doesn't mean you can't have a wonderful sexual life. I think we need to really bring that up. And I think the conversation isn't just someone calling me right now and saying, what about this and this? I think the conversation should be between the two people. They need to start opening up and saying, hey, why don't we try this? Or, you know, maybe Dr. Triana is right. We forget to kiss each other in the morning. How about kissing each other goodnight? How about holding hands? So even if I could make a little difference that way, you know, I think that's so important.
I have a feeling there are a lot of people listening to this broadcast who would tell you we're in our later stages of life, husband and wife, for example, and that part of our life is behind us. We're both comfortable with not having that as an aspect of our life anymore. But what I hear you saying is, wow, why miss out on that?
Exactly. Why miss out? Because it's only going to, you know, draw you closer together. I mean, why does, all right, let's be honest. Why does everybody love dogs?
Because they always love us.
They always love us. We pet them. It feels good to touch a dog. They cuddle up with us. So if your husband, your wife touches you, cuddles with you, holds you, I mean, and you have somebody in your life, then, you know, take advantage of that. Be human with each other. I think that's so beautiful. And if you don't have somebody in your life, then I would get it. When I was single, I had a dog. I love dogs. You know, my little puppy went with me. He was my companion. And unfortunately, I told you my dog of 14 years passed away. Diesel.
Oh,
my goodness.
Nothing worse than that. It's terrible.
I cried and cried, and I still cry. He was such a good dog, such a good dog. I have three other Dachshunds. Those little dogs are so cute. So anyone listening out there, I love animals. So
companionship is what you're saying on some levels, and obviously human intimacy would be the ultimate level of companionship.
Of course.
And it doesn't have to end at a specific age. I've heard you talk many times about people being sexually active into their 80s and beyond, as long as they're all functioning the way they're supposed to.
Well, and even if you can't, remember, You have to say, if you can't have intercourse the, quote, old-fashioned way, then you need to think about other ways to stimulate each other, to bring pleasure, to have an orgasm. There's lubrications. I'm going to talk about that. All the different types of lubrication, why they're good, why they're not good. Lubrications for both men and women. The importance also of sex toys. You know, and I'm talking about consenting adults who want to use a toy, those kind of things, or vibrators. Those are all okay. But you need to talk about it with your partner and say, what about this? What about that? It's got to be an open dialogue. You know, don't feel bad. Again, we sometimes hold ourselves to these standards that are impossible. We need to work around that and still know that we can have pleasure and intimacy. So here's another important thing. Many patients are getting pacemakers or a pacemaker called an ICD. What is an ICD? An implantable cardioverter defibrillator.
Mm.
So that's implanted in patients because their heart either for go in a rhythm that shouldn't be, and it will change or pace their heart, certain pacemakers. The defibrillator will shock their heart to put them in the right rhythm. So patients say that they can feel the shock. It's kind of like a kick in the chest.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yes. But this doesn't mean that you cannot have a sexual life because you have a pacemaker or a defibrillator that's implanted.
Okay.
What's the fears? Well, first of all, you should wait until after the wound is healed on that pacemaker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Once the doctor says, okay, the wound's here, you know, talk to your doctor about that. Second of all, some couples do not want to participate in sexual activities because they're afraid it's going to throw the pacemaker or off mm-hmm. where it won't work.
Right.
Or the defibrillator is going to shock the partner. If it goes off, it will not hurt the other person.
Will they even feel it?
I don't think so.
As you say, the person who it's implanted in does feel
they
something.
They can feel right. like a shock because it's inside.
Right.
They feel.
But it doesn't, it's not enough of a shock that it harms them. It gets their heart beating the way it's supposed
right.
to. So the person they're connected to physically, it's not going to hurt them.
No, it's not going to hurt them. But you have to know, and there's a whole list of, if you have a pacemaker or defibrillator, you have to be careful around iPhones, magnets, mm-hmm. microwaves. What are those machines? Oh, the machines like for the airport.
The scanners?
Yeah. Yes. So you have to tell people that.
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of these patients who've had these devices implanted, they are overprotective. They start because they're not participating at all. You know, it's like everything in life. One of the things that I have even young patients say to me, you know, I'm so busy. I'm tired at night. I'm not interested in sex. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. So I say, make a date night.
Mm-hmm.
Make a date
yes.
night, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Start that way. And even if you're not interested, start participating.
Well, the goal of the date night should not be, this is where we're going to end up. If that ends up being the consequence, if you will, the side effect, that's terrific. But I think far too many people say, we need to do this because that's where we're going to end up.
No, but what I mean about the date night too is make a time
mm-hmm.
and start the activity, the holding, the touching, the
right.
kissing, the
right.
fondling, even if 10 minutes before you were going, you know, I'm really too tired. I really am not interested, because most people, if you rev up the engine will go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you start the fondling, the kissing, the touching. it will start the feelings, the sensations, and that person then all of a sudden, geez, I'm not as tired as I thought I was. Wow, this feels good. Oh my gosh, the person I love most in life, I'm with them, they're with me, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in other words, even if you don't really have the urge at the moment, start to do it and see and work with that. But be honest with the person ahead of time. Say, this is our night. We're going to do this. Don't just keep putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. I saw this one program. I thought that was very interesting. This couple said for a whole year, I think they wrote a book or they were on TV, that they were going to have sexual relations every single day for a year, no matter what.
I heard about that. Mm-hmm.
And they really felt that this had made a tremendous difference in their life, whether they felt like it or not, that they were going to have relations. So maybe you can't do it every day. I mean, you know, but every little intimate thing you do is like another layer of adding. Okay. It's like you're holding hands, you're kissing, you're saying sweet nothings. You think of someone, you know, the little details. Bringing somebody, I think it's so nice when you know, for example, the person you love and you bring them a little gift.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little, you know, maybe, I don't mean just flowers. Let's say that person collects maybe little tchotchkes of something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, look, I saw this and I thought of you and I bought it for you.
Yes.
Just a little gift, nothing expensive. You know, nobody has to think about. I think that's special. I thought of you.
I did that recently for my wife, and she, for whatever reason, finds it very calming and relaxing to have one of those portable vaporizers near the bed sometimes, and put the eucalyptus in it. It's like aromatherapy for her, and hers burnt out. And so I surprised her by going to the store and getting her a brand new one. And she told me, I would rather have this than a bouquet of flowers. So that's the kind of thing that you got to keep in mind. It doesn't have to be the traditional flowers, candy, that kind of thing.
Right. It's the thought. I mean, you know, a little thing that also adds to that layer of intimacy. And, you know, when somebody doesn't feel good and they've had maybe surgery and it's already been 8 weeks out and you say, look what I got you. How about a nice little soft bathrobe that they could put on and feel nice and cuddly? So that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to take away the fears of sudden death that some patients have. And also another major life event that we need to not forget about is a stroke.
Ah, I was thinking we're going to end up there at some point.
Yes. Stroke. Stroke can be preventable. We know the best way to prevent stroke is by controlling blood pressure, by lowering your cholesterol, by stopping smoking, by also controlling your diabetes. But even with that, there are some people who will have a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the problems with stroke is that many people will either, it depends on the severity, they may have what's called aphasia, they won't be able to speak, they have decreased libido because they can't maybe ambulate, or they have weakness on one side of their body. The bottom line is, after you've had a stroke, after you're stable, after you're already, you know, been in rehab, having sex is not going to increase your risk for another stroke.
I imagine that is a pretty profound fear for people who've had strokes, because obviously you don't want to repeat that. So, but it's the same basic story as with the cardiac event earlier. Statistically, it's not a problem, is more or less what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, excuse me.
Oh, certainly. By the way, we only have 8 or 9 minutes left on the program. If you'd like to get a question in, now would be a great time. And the numbers are 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. Maybe some of these medical conditions that are being discussed apply to you. Maybe some of them don't. We're open to any question here on the slippery slope of lipids and other medical issues.
So we want to remember, having sexual activities after a stroke does not increase your risk for another stroke. There are other devices, too, that some patients may have. There's what's called a left ventricular assist device. Patients also are able to have sexual activity. The other most common cardiac is congestive heart failure or heart failure. We want to make sure the patient is stable and they can engage in sexual activities. If they're not stable, they can have increased shortness of breath because of the limited circulations. The medication, some of the medications, again, we talked about, can cause erectile dysfunction. The most important take-home message for people who have congestive heart failure is also planning. You know, spontaneity is gorgeous, but it's okay to plan and say, I'm going to rest today because my heart can only do so much activity, and I'm going to take it easy because this afternoon I'm going to have sex. Okay? So it's okay to say that I'm going to need my energy requirements to have sexual activities.
Okay.
And again, to bridge the after the event, remember the hugging, the kissing, the fondling are all low energy. Remember we talked about that last time. Low energy mean they don't expend as much energy mm-hmm. as the other, which would be intercourse or different positions with sexual intercourse, they expend more energy. So if you start, see how you do with the bridging activities, if you get chest pain or not. I also want to recap and remind everyone that there are a few very important studies in this paper, albeit they're not huge populations, but the important thing is, yes, people who have orgasms lived longer. Now, so I had dinner with my friends last night, and I told them that, and they said, well, how many orgasms is that? Does that mean two a day, three a day, one a day? It doesn't state it. But overall,
I was going to say, okay? You have interesting dinner party conversations.
Well, you know, being a doctor.
That's true.
So that is very, very important to know that.
Okay.
And the orgasms can be self-stimulating orgasms or couple orgasm and orgasm, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important.
Okay.
I want to talk about also in the future about lubrications. I think that's very important. I also want to remind everyone that sex should be pleasurable and safe. What do we mean by that? One of the rising sexually transmitted disease are in patients who are older, who maybe had a life change, a divorce, or they're widowers, and all of a sudden they're having many partners. We've got to remember safe sex means condoms, means know something about your partner, and speak to your doctor about if you're having multiple partners. I think that's really important.
Regardless of your age, it's not just during the years with which you could get pregnant later, too. I remember hearing one of the statistics that one of the largest groups gaining as far as STDs go in percentages would be people in older communities.
Yes. Yes. The older community. Because, you know, a lot of people were older. When they were younger, they didn't have to worry about other sexually transmitted diseases.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or they didn't care. And they didn't have HIV.
And we weren't as public about it and talked about it back then as we do now, too.
Right. So I think that's very important. We still want you to have safe sex. I also want to remind everyone to open up the lines of communication. Why is this? I've spent two shows on this and forever. Your sexual health is important. Counseling with your healthcare provider is very important. Remember, we talked about reviewing your medications for potential in affecting your sexual health. Any risk related to sexual activity needs to be addressed. HIV, sexually transmitted disease. Use condoms. the role of exercise. Exercise increases intimacy. It also makes you feel better about yourself.
That's a proven fact.
Yes, that is very important. Also, use of activities. We talked about that require less energy to bridge to sexual intercourse. Also, report any signs of if you're having sex and you've had a cardiac event and you feel chest pains, report this to your doctor. If you have chest pains and you're on nitroglycerin, remember not to use medications such as Viagra, Levitra, Cialis, because it can lower your blood pressure. If you're having sexual activities and you get chest pains and you are using these medications and the pain does not resolve in 5 minutes, or talk to your cardiologist, your doctor, when they recommend to call EMS, need to tell your EMS person who comes, if you call 911, wait a minute, don't forget, I just took Viagra, so that you're not given nitroglycerin.
I see. One of those things that, again, the embarrassment factor may get in the way of you communicating something, but it could be life and death, so you must tell these things.
I have responded to events, and what's one of the first questions I ask? Mm-hmm. Have you, in the past 24 hours, used Viagra, Cialis, or Levitra?
Okay.
Second of all, talk to your healthcare provider if you feel you have some kind of sexual dysfunction, which would be, for example, decreased libido, erectile dysfunction, if women feel vaginal dryness, if men feel they can't get an orgasm or they have problems or blood in their ejaculation. All these things are important to bring up.
All right.
It's important to know that both men and women can have issues, and they need to bring these issues up, okay? Again, and I'm still very kind of shocked about it, that research that said that 60% of couples do not sleep in the same room, I'm saddened by it, because that is part of intimacy also. We know for certain reasons, maybe you can't sleep in the room, but if you can, remember, sleeping with your spouse, your significant other, is another way of expressing intimacy. So, I see we're about to wind things down.
Yes, we are at that point once again. Did not get to talk much about lubes as of yet.
We will. We're going to bring that up. And I want to thank everyone for listening. And remember, stay healthy. Open up the dialogue. Your sexual health, your heart health, you are so important. Remember that. Thank you.
CCF Punta Gorda.
News Radio 1580.
Charlotte County's only news talk radio station, serving you around the clock.